Long ago, the Bible prophesied the rise and fall of such empires as Babylon, the Persian Empire of Cyrus the Great and Darius the Mede, the Greek Empire of Alexander, and the Roman Empire. All these were the superpowers of their day. But did you realize that Bible prophecy foretells the rise of a new superpower in our day? It does. And that new superpower will affect the lives of nearly every person on the face of the earth, including you and your family. What is this next superpower? From where will it rise? What does the Bible tell us about it? We'll answer these questions and more on this edition of Beyond Today.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Welcome to Beyond Today, where we help you understand your future. Today we're discussing the subject of the next superpower. And I have with me two guests, two gentlemen that are very well qualified to discuss this subject of the next superpower from a biblical perspective as well as from that of today's world news. Melvin Rhodes is a senior writer for the Good News Magazine, our flagship publication here on Beyond Today, as well as World News and Prophecy. And Scott Ashley is the managing editor of that publication. Both of these gentlemen have traveled extensively and written in about Europe, written about the Middle East, and are well versed in this particular subject. Gentlemen, the Bible was written more than over a period of 1,500 years as the books of the Bible were put together. And over that span of time, it talks about a number of empires. It talks about Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, among many others that came into play in the biblical account and the stories. And those were the superpowers of their day. What exactly does the Bible tell us about the rise and fall of such superpowers in the ancient world, as well as the superpowers of today's world?
In the book of Daniel, which was written in the 6th century B.C., we see prophecies relating to both the Gentile kingdoms and also to the Jews. And in talking about the Gentile kingdoms, it shows that there would be a succession of empires throughout history: the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, then the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire would have a number of revivals or resurrections of the empire that would continue down on and off throughout history, right down to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We also learn from the book of Daniel in chapter 2 and verse 21 that God raises up kings and removes kings. That God, in other words, is behind the rise and fall of nations.
So, Scott, it shows that God is actually in charge.
That's true. That's one of the great themes of the Bible, and Bible prophecy in particular, is that God, as Melvin said there, quoting, he raises up kings and kingdoms, and he brings them down, all to accomplish his great prophetic plan that is outlined primarily in the books of Daniel and Revelation in the Bible. So God is in charge over all of this.
We live in a secular world. We live in a world, as some describe it, as a post-Christian society. How in the world can people be assured that God is in charge, that there is a God who does rule in the affairs of men, intervenes in history? How can we be assured of that from the pages of the Bible?
Well, one of the great proofs of that is Bible prophecy. Again, Daniel prophesied the rise of four great empires, the superpowers of their day. The Babylonian Empire during the time that Daniel lived, and following that, the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great, and finally the Roman Empire. And indeed, all four of these empires rose, just as are described in various prophecies in the book of Daniel.
Melvin, you referred to the book of Daniel, and that's a major prophet from the Old Testament. Jesus Christ himself quoted from the book of Daniel on at least one occasion. But many people believe that Daniel is a book that was written after some of the events that it supposedly talks about. How do you answer a skeptic on that question, that Daniel indeed was written in advance of the historical events that he actually prophesied about?
Well, you know, until about 60 years ago, a lot of people claimed that Daniel must have been written in the time of Jesus Christ or even after Jesus Christ,
right?
Because there's a prophecy, the 70 weeks prophecy in Daniel 9, which very accurately prophesies exactly when the Messiah would come. And then, of course, in 1947, they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, which included amongst them the book of Daniel. And the Dead Sea Scrolls were dated to the 2nd century B.C. So we knew from that that the book of Daniel was at least the 2nd century B.C. But when you look at the book of Daniel, you can see that it was written in the 6th century B.C. at the time that it claims it is written by Daniel. The circumstances in which it's written are an indicator of that. Also the style in which it is written, even. There are a number of sources that you can look at that emphasize its credentials and help us to understand and appreciate the book for what it says.
Daniel wrote from the perspective, he was actually in Babylon. He was a captive in Babylon and wrote from the perspective of that first of the vision or the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel chapter 2, which is Babylon.
Yes, that's right.
What does this mean? You referred to these four empires from Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. What does that mean exactly for our time today? The Roman Empire fell long ago. I learned when I was in school that 476 AD, Rome fell, classical date for the end of the Roman Empire. But yet, we talk about the fact that it fell, but how could it exist at the time of Jesus Christ's return?
Well, in a sense, it did fall in 476 A.D., but that was the original Roman Empire. There have been attempts throughout history to revive the Roman Empire. In 800 A.D., for example, the Pope crowned Charlemagne as the Holy Roman Emperor.
Right.
And the Holy Roman Empire was a dominant force in European politics for about 1,000 years. This is what the Germans refer to as the First Reich. Remember, Hitler's Reich was the Third Reich, and Hitler said his Reich would last for 1,000 years. In other words, it would copy the First Reich, which also lasted 1,000 years. Now, his Reich only lasted 12 years. In between
Hitler's Reich.
Hitler's did.
Right.
In between the First Reich and the Third Reich, you had the Second Reich, which was the German Kaisers. It's interesting, the word Kaiser is pronounced exactly the same as the word Caesar was pronounced in Aramaic, Kaiser.
Now that would be the empire or the German empire of the late 19th, early 20th century.
Exactly, yes, and that collapsed in 1918.
Right.
The Third Reich, 1945. These had been revivals of the Roman Empire. And even in 1957, when the European countries came together and decided to form what is now called the European Union, it was founded by the Treaty of Rome. Again, it was an attempt to revive the Roman Empire. So revivals of the Roman Empire have continued right down to our modern times.
Did these men, when they came together at that time, you referred to the beginning of the European community there in the 1950s, did they have any concept of exactly what they were coming together and forming, Scott?
They did indeed. It's interesting. There's a quote from a BBC documentary interviewing Henri Spek, who was the Secretary General of NATO around that time, and he quoted something to the effect. Don't remember the quote exactly, but it. He said, we all felt like Romans that day. We all felt like we were recreating the Roman Empire. So that shows the mindset, the ideology that was driving these men when they founded the European Economic Community in 1957. And, of course, that's later been superseded by the European Union that we have today. And it's interesting where that might lead as well from there.
Now that is developed. That's a developing story that's going on. You know, right before our eyes today is exactly where that is going to lead. This is a fascinating subject that is leading us into probably a deeper understanding of the scriptures. We're going to need to go to some scriptures to understand exactly what we are talking about in the efforts to build a new superpower. We are offering for the first time on Beyond Today, today on this particular program, a publication that has been with the Beyond Today staff for quite some time. It's called World News and Prophecy. This is a monthly publication that deals specifically with Bible prophecy in the light of today's world news. It takes you through many, many different topics in the Middle East, in Europe, and other parts of the world, and what is happening with Bible prophecy in today's world. This is a very important publication. We'd like to give you a free subscription to it. We've got an ad we'd like for you to view at this point. Stay with us, and we'll be right back and take a closer look at the new superpower that is being built and what the Bible says about it.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was China's role as a great power at the time of the end. You can read all about these trends each month in your free subscription to World News and Prophecy. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. For the first time, you will be able to interpret the confusing conflicts in the Middle East. Also understand why the developing European Union will challenge the very freedom and independence of the United States, Great Britain, and all the English-speaking nations of the world. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or going online to beyondtoday.tv.
We are back to Beyond Today. Today we're discussing the next superpower. During that break, you saw an ad for our publication, World News and Prophecy. Be sure and go online at beyondtoday.tv to get your free subscription to this monthly publication. It takes you through Bible prophecy in light of today's world events and what's taking place in the news headlines in our world today. It's a free publication. It's going to help you a great deal in understanding exactly what's taking place in our world today, and especially in regard to this subject that we're discussing today of the next superpower as we watch and understand what's taking place in many parts of our world. Gentlemen, in the last segment, we discussed a little bit about the book of Daniel in general, about how it foretold the rise of various empires, how it is a legitimate source to go to understand our world today. We talked about the rise of the Roman Empire and the fact that that empire is going to be in existence at the return of Jesus Christ in some form. Now, how big might this new superpower be, and who might be involved? Let's get down to some specifics.
Well, it's interesting. Bible prophecy in both Daniel and Revelation indicate that there are going to be, Revelation is actually very specific. There will be ten kings or ten rulers or leaders of nations or perhaps groups of nations who will be a part of this end time Roman Empire there. It's also interesting, considering the size of the European Union right now. You know, it started out with only six countries. Today it's grown to 25, with more being added virtually every year. And not many Westerners are aware of the size of that, especially compared to the United States. Whereas our population is about 300, the current population of the European Union is over 400 million. So it's actually a much, much larger economic power than the United States right now, with a greater economic output than the United States. So it's interesting that the European Union demonstrates this continued drive and quest for a unified European power here.
They've stalled on that process in recent months. Do you think that they're going to be able to restart that process toward a greater unification?
Oh, it's still going on. It's just not so much above board, perhaps, as it has been before. Now it's just mostly gone somewhat underground, pretty much accomplishing the same things through bureaucratic means rather than through the democratic process.
I read an article one time by an author that said that compared the building of edifices in Europe to like a citadel, and how citadels and castles were built in Europe over generations, whereas in America things go up very quickly and don't tend to last generations. But what is built in Europe takes a long period of time and tends to last a long period of time. That mm-hmm. may be something to understand in regard to the building of this particular power there.
Yes.
Melvin, where do we turn in the scriptures? How do we understand this from a scriptural perspective?
Well, in Revelation chapter 17, we see that immediately prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, 10 kings come together to form a revival of this beast power from Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, which was the Roman Empire. It says in verse 12, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast.
Now, perhaps we might stop and just explain to our audience what is the beast.
The beast is the Gentile superpower that Daniel talked about. The first one was Babylon, the second one Persia, the third one was the Greek Empire, the fourth one was the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was to go through these revivals throughout history. These were Gentile powers as against the Jews who had
Israel.
There, right. There was a separate prophecy in Daniel for them. But the prophecy relating to the Gentile powers was important to the Jews because these Gentile powers were much bigger and much greater, and they all impacted the Jews.
So in the book of Revelation, when we hear and see these images of the beast, and this term, the beast, we're talking about a Gentile power
right.
that is going to come together then.
Yes, and not just a Gentile power, but a superpower.
Okay.
Because each of these were super powerful nations. And, you know, it also talks about 10 horns coming together. The horns are symbolic of royal power, but they could also be presidents or prime ministers. Just 10 leaders, 10 nations coming together to form this beast power.
It says 10 kings. Are we talking about leaders or nations?
It could be both. It could be either. You know, the way that it's worded, I would think it is 10 nations, 10 leaders of those nations
of individual
that come
nations.
Together, right, to form this union. And it says, then these will make war with the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. So, you know, this is clearly at the time that Jesus Christ returns. Mm-hmm. So this superpower has to come into existence before Jesus Christ returns. And this is a revival of that Roman system again.
All right. Let's go back. What exactly is this Roman system or this Holy Roman Empire that is sometimes that is called from history? What exactly was that?
Well, the Roman Empire really united most of Europe. And, of course, that brought a lot of commercial benefits. People were able to travel from one end of the empire to another and trade. And not only were there commercial benefits, there was also law and order. There were no conflicts within the empire. There were conflicts on the empire's borders. And the Roman Empire lasted for hundreds of years, and it was a great civilization. Now, there was a legacy of the empire, because when the empire collapsed in 476, the church took over the administration of the areas that had previously been ruled by the empire. The church in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15 is described as the image of the beast. You know, when you look in a mirror, you see your image. It's not really you, but it looks like you.
It's a reflection of what we look like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the church was a reflection of the Roman Empire. The empire was the secular system.
Now, when you say church, the Christian church that evolved after the first century.
The church that was based in Rome.
Okay.
Is the church that took over the administrative boundaries, if you will, of the empire and carried on ruling the empire. In fact, this is perfectly illustrated in the city of York in the north of England. York is a city that was founded by the Romans, and there is a famous cathedral there called York Minster.
Right.
And I used to go there as a child from school, and when we went there then, they had not excavated the foundations. When I went back a few years ago, they had excavated the foundations, and they found that York Minster is built on top of the old Roman military headquarters. So the church, you see, simply continued the old military administration of the empire. And in fact, the first Christian emperor, the first Catholic emperor,
Constantine,
was actually proclaimed emperor in that very spot.
In the city of York.
On the foundations, yes, the foundations of the cathedral.
So does that then make this connection for us between Europe and the church that is important to Bible prophecy?
Yes, it's very important. The two connect. They've had a relationship throughout history. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 2 refers to this relationship as one of fornication.
Right.
And, you know, the relationship of fornication between the church and the state, that's not a committed relationship. Each one is trying to get from the other, and they've been kind of struggling against each other as well as working with each other.
But so it works for each other, but it works against a lot of other factors as well.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Very important subject. We're going to come back in just a minute here and discuss this in a further detail. We're going to take you to a message about World News and Prophecy, a publication that's published on a monthly basis. Stay with us. We'll be right back and discuss Europe's Christian roots, which are very clearly seen in history. Bible prophecy shows a future role for Europe and a final revival of an ancient system that will have global dimensions. We'll come back and look at that in just a moment. Stay with us.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was thousands of years of European history and the coming conflict which will end the power of the United States. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv. Every family needs a steady diet of good news, so get yours with your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll regularly read about how to apply principles of family success that always work. Raise happy children, enhance and solve problems in your relationship, and move ahead by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for the good news. Help your family succeed.
And we are back to Beyond Today. We are offering, as well as you subscribe to World News and Prophecy, a free subscription to our flagship publication, the Good News Magazine. This will come out in 6 issues on an annual basis. It will be given to you free of charge as well. This will take you through a number of different topics on the subject of doctrine, Christian living, as well as prophecy, and from the pages of your Bible. The Good News, free with your subscription to World News and Prophecy. Gentlemen, we talked in the last segment about the current state of the European Union at 25 nations, and also from the Revelation 17, the fact that this end time power that arises is indicated there to be composed of 10 kings, 10 leaders, or 10 nations possibly. How do we reconcile that, Scott, with the 25 now as opposed to the 10 of prophecy?
I think that's a good question. To me, it indicates that perhaps this final resurrection of the Roman Empire may arise out of some sort of major threat to Europe, some sort of crisis-type situation in which what we might see is a core group of nations come out of the European Union to form this final 10 kings or leaders there. So I think that's probably a pretty likely scenario, particularly the way things are going in the world right now.
Well, Europe today is said to be in decline. Any major article that it seems to be written on the subject of Europe today, as they compare it with Asia, such as India and China, say that Europe is a museum. Europe is in the past. And yet we've been talking here today about Europe as part of this, as the center of this next superpower and a rising power to be watching and understanding. And yet we see the European project is on hold, and there have been some setbacks there. Europe is having a number of problems with immigration problems. Their demography is a major time bomb. Their populations are shrinking. Some of the nations, such as Spain and Italy, are not even reproducing themselves, replacing their population. In a few years, they're going to be outnumbered by Muslim immigrants in many cases there. That's a real problem. And yet, when we look at Bible prophecy, as we've been doing here, we see that it tells us, when we understand what it's put together, that Europe is going to be at the center of this beast system that is prophesied to arise in the future. And yet we have to admit today that in one sense Europe isn't quite ready for prime time, biblical prime time, that is described here as with what we've been talking about, and that there are going to have to be some changes on the world scene. There's a recent book that I read called Menace in Europe by the author Claire Berlinski, and she took a very hard look at many of these things in Europe today that are a problem, and yet she came away with the realization that there are some things that could change, that could turn it around very quickly. At the very end of her book, she talks about the fact that she doesn't predict an imminent catastrophe on European soil or a demise of the European democratic institutions, but she doesn't rule out the possibilities. She says that Europe's entitlement economy will collapse, its demography will change, the European Union, she says, may unravel. Islamic terrorists may succeed in taking out a European city. She says, we have no idea what these events would herald, but it is possible and reasonable to imagine a very ugly outcome. It's a very sobering analysis, and what she concludes there points to the fact that things could turn around in Europe, as she mentions the possibility of an Islamic attack. Scott, what does this mean? What could this do to affect the future of Europe, should some of the things she talked about come to pass?
I think we would certainly see a unification, a coming together of common purposes, responding to a common threat, as she has described there. And, of course, we've seen lately people like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran, right, openly threatening the Western powers there. So there's a really interesting prophecy back in Daniel 11 that specifically is set in the time frame of the time of the end. I'll briefly review that in Daniel 11 and verse 40. And it says here, at the time of the end. So this time frame is very important. This is describing the time just before Jesus Christ returns to earth. And we see the stage being set for his return. It says, at the time of the end, the king of the south, and the king of the south in the context of this whole chapter and other Bible prophecies would be some sort of leader coming out of the Islamic world. It's interesting that much as the Jewish people expect a Messiah to return and Christians expect Jesus Christ to return, in Islamic theology they expect a figure called the Mahdi.
They have their own messianic figure then.
Yes, their own messianic figure who will return and establish Islam as the dominant religion of the world. There are also figures like Osama bin Laden, for instance, or President Ahmadinejad of Iran that I mentioned a minute ago, who might be this type of figure. Also, many fundamentalist Muslims would like to establish a new caliph, a spiritual leader.
Over all of Islam.
Over all of Islam, which they haven't had a caliph since the collapse of the Ottoman Empire.
So this could be at the center of this push from this King of the South describing here in Daniel.
King of the South could be any one of these types of individuals, possibly all three rolled into one.
If we bring that back to Europe now, we see a major force coming out of there that could jolt Europe into an awareness, into a whole different configuration. Melvin, is there some type of a spiritual regeneration that could take place in Europe on a spiritual basis? We had mentioned in an earlier segment that it's a spiritual wasteland in Europe right now. But is there something from the Bible that tells us of a spiritual regeneration that could turn things around in Europe and play a part prophetically?
Yeah, certainly that is something that is indicated by Scripture because, right now Europe is, as you say, very secular. But I think the threat of this, from the Islamic world could result in the Europeans going through a reaction to that. One of the problems here is that secular Europe does not take religion seriously, so fails to understand Islam, which does take religion seriously.
That's a very important thing and matter to watch in the future, and it ties us right in with what Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 24 and verse 42, where he said to watch and to understand the times in which we live, and we don't know at that point the hour that our Lord is going to be coming. So the importance of watching and understanding these events and see how they fit in with Bible prophecy is extremely important. Major events are shaping our world. That's why we are offering our monthly publication, World News and Prophecy. We'd like to send you a free subscription. This magazine will help keep you informed on topics like those covered today. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this final message.
Did you know that the military and economic dominance of the United States was predicted in Bible prophecy over 2,000 years ago? Also predicted was thousands of years of European history and the coming conflict which will end the power of the United States. Find out as nowhere else by subscribing to World News and Prophecy. It's free by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv.
Europe was the central battleground of World Wars I and II and the Cold War. Europe is emerging again at the beginning of the 21st century as a decisive stage for a new historic battle with global consequences. It will be a superpower. Forces are coming together that will once again make the region the epicenter of world events that will impact America, the world, and you. You can't afford to let yourself be surprised when these events come to pass. It is urgent that you understand the grave and dangerous time we're now entering. Europe's future is your future. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed having you with us. Remember, when you're looking to understand your future, remember this program. That's Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.